Yes, this is Eagle FM, the eye. A very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. And thanks for choosing us this very morning. And we are choosing you as well. So thank you for taking time to choose Eagle FM at this point in time. So it's Wednesday morning, some call it, you know, ladies' night. So, and we are right in the middle of the week. So, and it's the last week of this month of July. So, my name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is an Unpacking the Day. So, welcome to Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in terms of business, economic and political news and headlines. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always, as always, being curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is 5 minutes past the hour of eight, and we just right at the beginning of the show. Thanks for joining us, and thank you, Tate Franz, for handing over the mic on this side of this beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. So as usual, we start in Africa. We go back into history and look at what happened on this day in Africa. So good morning, Africa. You are tuning to On This Day in Africa. And today we are traveling back through the decades to 29 July. And let's crack open the history book. So we're going to crack the open and open the history book. First, stop at the first stop in 1976. So on this day in 1976, the beautiful island of Seychelles waved goodbye to the British rule and became an independent republic. Now, picture it, the Union Jack coming down, a new flag going up, and the nation of just over 100 islands, you know, in the Indian Ocean, finally steering its own ship. So every year on this date, Seychelles, still come together to celebrate their Independence Day. Now, rewind 16 years to 1960. On 29 July 1960, the British Parliament passed the Nigerian Independence Act. That piece of legislation was the green light. It was the green light Nigeria had been waiting for. And it basically set the stage for full sovereignty. Now, a few months later, on the 30th of September, the Union Jack was lowered. And then by the 1st of October in 1960, Nigeria officially stood on its own 2 feet as an independent nation. And we jump forward to 1974. This was a tense time. It was a tense time. The war for independence from Portugal was still raging. But on this day, in 1974, something remarkable happened. The Portuguese armed forces movement, the MFA came out and publicly backed the PAIGC as the only true voice of the Guinean people. So they openly praised the anti-colonial figures, you know, anti-colonial fighters. And that declaration was actually a massive, massive, massive turning point. So just a month later, you know, Portugal officially recognized Guinea-Bissau's independence. So fast forward to 1998. On this day in 1998, a conflict that had already begun escalating dramatically, several African countries jumped in, and what followed became known as the Second Congo War. You know, some call it Africa's World War. Yeah. So nine nations eventually got drawn in, and the human cost was really, really struggling, you know, staggering, yeah? So millions of lives lost, not just to fighting, but to diseases and to displacements. So it remains one of the deadliest conflict the continent has ever seen. And finally, last year in South Africa, on 29 July 2024, so 2024, so former President Jacob Zuma was expelled from the ANC, the very party he once led, actually. So the reason, he had gone on to form his own political party, and the ANC said, well, you crossed the line now. So it was a political earthquake that sent waves right across South Africa. So that is your history lessons for 29 July. So thanks for listening. And same time tomorrow, we will do it all over again. All right. Good morning. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So thanks for joining us. And it's a pleasure to have you on Eagle FM. And our time, it's 11 minutes past the hour of 8, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So now, today's thought for the day, it's an African proverb, say, the strength of the crocodile is in the water. The strength of the crocodile is in the water, you know. The proverb is rooted, it's rooted in Tsonga tradition, and is often rendered in the original Tsonga language as Matiba yangwenya imati. Matiba yangwenya imati. So the crocodile is powerful, but put it out on a dry land for too long and it loses its advantage. So the lesson is very simple. We are strong when we are in the right environment, using our gift, skills, and strength we already have. Now, too often we spend our time trying to be someone else or comparing ourselves to others. Now, but success usually comes when we know who we are, understand what we do best, and build from there. So today, don't focus on what you can do. Focus on what you can do. Find your water. Eh? Find your strength. And then give it your best. Give it your best. Because just like a crocodile, we all have a place where we are at our strongest. So that's our thought for the day. Wednesday, the 29th of July. So good morning and welcome. So what are we looking at today? What are we looking at this morning? What do we have on the agenda this morning? So what is on our agenda this morning? So there is a feeling, Namibia's annual state of regional addresses are coming under growing scrutiny. They are coming under growing scrutiny as critics, you know, critics question whether the governor's speeches, do they translate into tangible development outcomes? Or they just merely restate long-standing challenges every year. So I think I took a time really to go into this. So let's unpack that. All right, let's unpack that. So it's about the state of the regional addresses by our governors. Okay, so we're going to unpack that. And today's Wednesday, and the Villager, the e-newspaper, is out. It's out today. The today's edition is out. And there's a story where the urban and the rural development minister, James Sankwasa, warned the Rundu Town Council that all land allocation must obtain his ministerial approval and follow prescribed legal procedures to ensure transparency, fairness, and accountability. So we're going to look at some of the things, you know, coming out of what Minister James Sankwasa was warning the Rundu Town Council, because it's not only for the Rundu Town Council, I think it's for all the town council around the country. So we're gonna look at that, and we're gonna go into that and look at some of the aspects that maybe need some questioning. All right, and the civil society and a growing number of MPs are demanding that the National Assembly extend its sitting hours, you know, so that now the legislators can devote sufficient time to debating, you know, to debate and also then passing needed laws. So because they seem not to have enough time to pass the law that actually has become stagnant. So we also gonna look at that if we have time, which we seem to have it plenty, but let's see how far we go. So, but your participation, as always, is part of the show, and you're most welcome, to unpack all these items with me here on Unpacking the Day. So good morning and welcome. So we'll be back in a second.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
My dear listeners, good morning, good morning, good morning. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM. And this morning, we are going straight for the bone. Okay. We are going straight for the bone. No sugar coating, no big English, as Tate Franz always accused me of, you know, just straight talk. All right. Just straight talk. All right. I'm talking about the state of region address. Okay. You know them. You know, the one every year our regional governors put on their best suits. They put on their best suits, stand in front of the microphone and tell us all the wonderful things the government is doing. Yeah? Roads are coming. Water is coming. Jobs are coming. The future is bright. So then we clap. So we clap. They smile. And the camera flash. And then what happened? Then we go back to our home. Back to the dust roads. Back to the taps that run dry. Back to the young people sitting on the corners with no work. And we wait. We wait for next year's speech where we hear the same promises all over again. Where we repeat that again. Now, so this morning, I want us to pull this thing apart, okay? I want us to pull these things apart. I want us to ask the real question here. So, are these speeches actually changing our lives? Or are they just a nice show? Are they? So that's the question. That's the question that we're looking at. Are they changing our lives? Or are they just actually a nice show? Now, so we also have to be fair. Okay, look, let's also be fair. Okay, we always be fair here. Now, the governors are not just making things up, you know. They're not just making things up out of thin air. All right? The governors in Hardap says this addresses help him check what has been done and plan what must come next. So the governor in Hangwena says, okay, her region is committed to making life better through government working together. So, and over in Omaheke, the government is talking tough. It's really talking tough. He says the lazy attitude in government offices must end. He wants people to work harder and report what they are doing. And so he wants results. So the governor wants results. So, and you know what? In speeches, that all sounds good. All right? That all sounds good. Who does not want a better planning? You know, you and I want a better planning. Everyone want a better planning. Who does not want the government actually to work together? Who does not want public servant to stop dragging their feet? So as I said, in the speeches, that sounds all good. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, my dear listeners, or my dear friends. If you go to the village, any township, any small town in this country, and you ask the people, what has changed since last year's speech? Or maybe I'm just talking to you, just talking to you now. What has changed since last year's speech? In your village, in your town, in your, you know, in your small town, wherever you are. What has changed since the last year's speech? I think many will look at you and scratch in their heads, you know. In Zulu we say, ingazi or asazi, you know. I don't know. So the unemployment rate in this country is sitting at nearly 37%. For our young people, it is even worse, over 44%. Now, that means almost half of our young men and women who want actually to work cannot find jobs. And this is not a new problem. So we have been hearing about it in these speeches for years. You understand? We've been hearing about this, in these speeches for years. The houses, still not enough, isn't it? The water, still unreliable in too many places. The roads, still full of potholes. the economic opportunities were still out of reach for ordinary men and women on the street. So why does the same list of problems keep showing up year after year? Why does this problem, the same list of problems, the same list of problems, when you listen to them, the same list of problems keep showing up year after year, like a guest who refuses actually to leave. So they keep showing up the same all every year. Just pay attention to the speeches. Just pay attention to the speech. The same problems keep showing up year after year. You know, when you have a guest who doesn't want to leave? So it's like that. It's like a guest who refuses to leave. Now, this is where now we need to be careful and look deeper. Okay? So, because the truth is, many of our governors are caught in a trap that is not entirely their own making. And here's the thing that a lot of people do not know. So our regional governor do not actually control the money. Do you know that our regional governors do not actually control the money? They cannot just decide to build a road or put up a clinic or drill a borehole. The big budgets sit with the national ministers in Windhoek. The big budget is with the ministers. So the actual work of delivering services fall on regional councils and local authorities. The governor is there to coordinate, to represent the president, to make sure different government departments are talking to each other. Yeah? But to force them to act, the governor to force them to act, to open the purse and spend, that power is very, very limited. So he's not the one who, as I said, he would probably, make sure that different government departments are talking to each other, coordinating, you know. But then, like forcing, hey, you gotta do this. Or, hey, here's the money, or where's the money to spend? That power is very, very limited for them. And I want you to think about it like this, okay? Imagine you are a football just said, you know, the World Cup just ended, you know. Imagine you're a captain of football team, but you are not allowed to pick the players, you are not allowed to choose the tactics, and you do not control the ball, you know? So you're just there on a sideline shouting encouragement and hoping the team listens. That's what just hoping. You're hoping that the team listens. So that is roughly where our governors find themselves. They carry the title, they carry the pressure, and they definitely carry the blame when things go wrong. When things go wrong, but the tool to fix things, those are mostly in other people's hand. They are not in their hand. They are not in their hand. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning. How are you, my brother?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Fine. You see, look, actually, I think as the citizen, should first understand the roles and responsibility of our leaders. Number one, we must start with the EDC or VDCs. Come to constituency councillors, to the governor, to the ministers, to whatever. We don't know. Even local authority council. We just say, honorable whatever. We go and cry to someone who doesn't even have power. You see?
Exactly.
Now, look. governance, actually. It's like a bridge, you see, communication bridge between central government and the region, can I say. Now, for them to achieve that goal, what are their duties again? What's supposed to be their real duties and responsibility?
Yeah.
Fine, they might not have access to finance or whatever, but they're supposed to be an eagle eye or a watchdog to make sure that his or her region is actually also benefiting from the central government.
Yeah.
Now, how should they have done that? They are the head of a certain region. Now, being the head of a region, it means that constituency councillors, directorate in any ministries, let me say directors, whatever, should be under them, under their wing.
Yeah.
It's not to punish them, but to give them directive or to see whether that those certain people or whatever are performing. Now,
just hold for a second. Just hold for a second. We go to the market quickly. Yeah.
Okay.
Great news. Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Yeah.
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 Look, my brother. A governor, suppose, look, the appointee, let me say, the appointing authority, who is the president,
yeah,
supposed to know, first of all, when you, how can I say, appoint a governor.
Yeah.
Then you're supposed to have even four or five of them in from that region to see, to find out what are their strategic plan, their roadmap, what are they going to change if they are assigned to become governors. Where do they see which particular area need urgent attention, and how to achieve that one? Those are the things, not just to come breaking news. So is the governor from that region.
Yeah.
Just like that. Yeah? People just go there and sing, celebrate, you bring the money, just for them to, how can I say now, not to think about what they wanted, to ask, just to enjoy the music.
Yeah.
From there, governor Kavango, appointed as the governor of Kavango region, Kavango East, or Kavango West, or Hangwena. That is where the problem is. We are not saying the appointing authorities should not do that, but please, when you appoint someone whom you believe is able to deliver, or whom you believe that have got the ability.
But do the structure the way things are, the way how our structure are, do they have that opportunity to be able to deliver? Look, we have now people that have been elected, you know, the councillors has been elected in the constituency, and you know, and regional councillors, this has been elected, you know. How does now someone who is not elected and appointed, you know, fit into the whole thing?
Look, let me just say, okay, it's equally, let us blame each other now. Let me say, okay, fine. The whom I should blame first are the electorate, the people, the voters.
Yeah.
Because they are the one who make decisions and also suffer the consequences simultaneously. But can we not change? Any change should come from us voters. We must change. We must know that no, from now on, it's not to change political party, but to change how things will be done, regardless of who is going to win. Because we have been changing councillors from this political party to another. Nothing has changed. Because we are not strategizing to say that, no, let us now go to this way. To say that, okay, look, like a manifestos of the political party, you can ask any member of any political party, an ordinary member, you see, what is your party's manifesto? They will not tell you. I'm telling you straight. You can do it. They don't know. For them, it's just to see the color, who is there to sing and to celebrate. That's it.
Yeah. We just look at the person, you know, and that's it. We don't read what is in the manifesto. Yeah.
Yes, we don't know the value to say that, okay, if should I elect this person to power, what will I benefit? It's not to say, yes, us Hereros also have someone there. You see? As not to say that who, but what are you going to, and how are you going to benefit?
Mm.
Let me give you an example of regional councillors. I haven't heard anyone, you see, volunteering to say, okay, look, I come to this constituency or to this village, please, people, ask me questions.
Yeah.
Ask me, how do you want me to lead you or to change this certain constituency? Ask me questions. Or I am a regional coordinator of this certain political party. Ask me questions. What our party can do or what? How are we going to do it? There is no one like that. Because when they go there, they want to start speaking. It's like an interview. You cannot go for an interview, start speaking or asking the audience questions. No. You must sit. They must ask you questions, you see, for them to see whether you will be fit or whether you are fit or not, whether you are able or not. Now, to us also, we said, no, we are the bosses. We have the power as voters. No, we don't. You see, we are just like grass. You see, the grass have power to let an animal move like a kettle. Does it have power? You see, to reject. It's not. You see, it can be eaten anyway. But that, you see, we can say that, oh, when it rained, we say hallelujah. Why? It's not about our kettles. It's first we say thank you, God, because of rain, to do what? Because there will be grass. For what? For the animal to grow. That's how the politicians see us, as the grass, and they come and graze on that, on us. You see? When they are well fed, they go. You see? Come back, go drink water, come back again the next day. If that grass is not there, they go to another one.
Yeah. When we look at our political system, the political system that we have, it's actually the party that feed us the cater that will govern, for example, in a constituency or in the regions. So you as an individual, you actually have no choice than actually to vote for that person, whether they are competent or not, whether you know them or not. So you actually, you know, force in a way actually to vote, you know, that person, isn't it?
Yes. You see, why are we doing that? If people have been, how can I say, persuaded or been convinced, you see, remember that most of political parties in Namibia are using business people. Do you understand? Because they know that those are just like a wall or a water pen, where they know that animals will come there.
Yeah.
You see? Most of the animal will come there. Then that pen, that water pen, will decide and so convince that, do you want to come and drink here? Yes. Now, do you know what? For this water not to go dry or this wall, look at that person, vote him. You see now? Not knowing that is either a perennial water or whatever, or non-perennial, we don't know.
Yeah.
You see, let me give an example of before independence, because that's what I used to refer always to say that, can't we also not have adapted some? You see?
Can we also not have what?
We should have our government. Could they not have adapted some system, apartheid system, how they governed, how they overcame this situation? How did they dealt with unemployment, housing, and education, health? You must look back. Leave this to say that, no, it's colonialism. But we are with them. You are going to a colonial, the one who colonized you, you are the one going to their hospital, to the, sending your children to their school, living with them in Klein Coop and Klein Venduk. But coming to how they built that, you don't want to adopt it. You see, what I'm trying to say is, by then, you see, decentralization could have worked, at least.
Yeah.
You see, to say that, okay, Ohangwena region, please, the governor will act as a head. Yes. Now, let us get rid of, okay, the councillors can just oversee to say that, okay, are these been distributed equally or fairly? It's fine. Now, the regional directors supposed to have their own budget. If we have a director of education or health or whatever, agriculture in a certain region, having at least 5 million, let me say at least, or 10 million, to say that, okay, fine, should something happen, it's like a petty cash, for God's sake. You cannot just have, there is no even float, change float in your shop. You just take everyone 0 cents. Now, how is that person going to change if someone want to come and buy with $100 early in the morning? You see, at least we could have allocated funds to them to say that, okay, 5 million, 10 million, 5 million. Now, when it comes to national issues, then the minister can act, can be approached. But if to build, to construct a clinic or 4 classrooms or even a street, whatever, this small thing, or to drill a borehole, seriously, should it go through procurement system, which will take 4 years?
Yeah. I think we don't have, we haven't strengthened our regional structures and infrastructures because I think, and we haven't really implemented decentralization. Because yes. the budget formation should have actually started from the ground, you know, but now it's controlled nationally. Yeah. So and the governors, who speak, have no power in terms of, if you don't have money, if you're not the one who's controlling the purse, you have no one. You can't tell anybody to do anything.
Even the governor, this, what do you call it, Sora?
Yeah.
What is useless. I'm telling you straight. The person will read without even understanding.
Yeah.
You will see the Sora was fine. They are clapping hands. Just 5 minutes or morning, you will say, no, this old woman was found. She does not have structures. This this certain village never had a clinic for 20 years. This certain village does not have running water. This whatever, they don't have ABCD, but where did the governor got that, which impressed the audience who attended the Sora?
Hmm.
Where? You see, because what they should have done, they could have coordinated with the VDC, the councillors, to say, okay, in your area, please, I will give you 1 year. Do you go around there, look, find out where development is needed. You see? Then bring it to me so that I can consult with the president, so that the president can maybe, how can I say now, tell the ministers or whoever, at least to pump money to this side. But the problem is, this is my own opinion.
Yeah.
We know that, okay, that certain area is run by a certain political party. You see? If we decentralize, those people will just feel fine. Let them suffer the consequences.
Mm.
For them to realize, or when we go and say, you see, you are suffering because you belong to that party. If you want that to end, can't you just come decide? You see, then you have to come decide. That is the strategy which they are using. But who is suffering at the end? It's us, the voters.
Yeah.
Because we are not realizing that this system was put there in order for us to be shamboked. You see, let me tell you, when I never knew what does it mean to say a lion in a sheepskin. Or a wolf in a sheepskin. She can be in a sheepskin. When you will realize that this person is not like me, is this person eating what you are eating?
It's not the sheep.
Is this person going to the clinic or to the hospital where you are going? Is this person's children going to the school where your children are going?
Mm.
Is this person living in the area where you are living? If it's no, that person is a lion in a sheepskin. He just comes there, but he does not eat what you eat. A lion can be dressed completely like a sheep, but it will never eat grass, not at all.
Yeah.
That is where even the sheep will realize that, why is this one not eating grass? But to us, we are just down eating, not realizing or looking at the politicians, how they are living.
Mm-hmm.
What is so wrong to decentralize? The problem, the answer is, they don't want you to feel fine as long as you belong to a certain political party. They want you to suffer. When they come and campaign, at least they know that, you see, this area of Mangeti, this area of Alushu, you are suffering. Why? Or you belong to whatever. You see, if you want, come this side.
Yeah.
Look at others. You see how they are living. Then those people will be forced to abandon their political party or to abandon anything to come this side. When they will realize it's too late, it's after 5 years. 5 years, maybe you were 65 years old. With the ever disease you have or whatever, some have passed on, the new generation have grown. They will start again. That is the thing. But really, if we went to liberate this country in order to save everyone, we're supposed to decentralize.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is supposed to be decentralized. But what we have done as Africans, singing, clapping hands, do you understand? Giving speeches. These three are our pillars. Now, while we do that, the other people like whites, they strategize. You see? You see, when Jan van Riebeek came here, Adolf Luderitz, Diego Cao, Bartholomew Diaz, Livingstone, when they came here, the mission was complete. Strategize and say, when you go there, do A, B, C, D. Yeah. But what about our leaders when they went abroad? They went with the same whatever, they came back with the same without any strategic, you see, whatever. They just came there, not even reading the resolution agreement, not even knowing the constitution. They just came and said, okay, let us adapt to this one, let us go, fine. After realizing is when they come changing this ministry, tomorrow it is veteran affair or whatever, then, okay, let us put labor and justice together. It is not working. No, separate them. Justice apart, labor apart. No, tomorrow health and social. No. Put health with gender. You see, like that. Yeah. Because we are just gambling. You see? Yeah. We are just gambling. But gambling with a country is not good at all. Let them strategize. Let us start us as voters to demand or to leaders or to make sure that certain leaders at least, or should they fail, what should be done?
Yeah.
Not just to leave because, no, you don't want him, or I like him because, fine. No, otherwise we're the one suffering.
All right. So thanks for coming through. Let's touch on some other things as well. Maybe you may come through again later on.
No, I will.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Stop.
All right. So, yeah, we're just at the beginning. there's still a couple of things that I want to talk about, you know, before you can come through. All right. So that's roughly where our governor find themselves. You know, they carry the title. They carry the pressure. They definitely carry the blame when things go wrong. But the tool to fix things, As he was saying, the tool to fix things, those are mostly in other people's hands. Yeah? So when the governor stand up and list all the projects happening in the region, you know, many of those projects are not actually run by the governor's office. Yeah? They are not run by the governor's office. They are run by the ministries in Windhoek. So the governor is reporting on someone else's homework, you know? And when things fail, who do the people blame? Of course, the governor. Eh? And when things succeed, where the credit goes? It usually goes to the ministry. You know? And that's not just fair. That's not just unfair, you know? It's confusing. It's confusing, and it's making a mockery of accountability, really. Now, there are different ways to look at this, okay? And this is where I want to go. There are different ways to look at this, and I want us to consider all of them fairly, all right? Now, some experts say, look, if we want governor to be real leaders of development, then we must give them real power, you know, give them control over regional budget, give them the authority to push, you know, projects through. So make them accountable with clean numbers, you know, with clear numbers, okay? So with clear number, how many jobs did they create? Yeah. How many, you know, kilometer of road did they tar? You know, how many houses did they build? Yeah. So with clear numbers, yeah, how much of your budget did you actually spend? So if you give them the tools and hold their feet to the fire, I think they will deliver then. So this is a view of some experts saying. So and that's one view, okay? That's one view. And but then there's another side, okay? Some people say, wait a minute, okay? Our regional council are elected by the people. Like I was saying to him now, to the callers, that our regional councillor are actually elected by people. The governor is appointed by the president. So if we are serious about democracy, should we not be strengthening the elected regional councillor instead? Maybe the governor's job should simply be to connect Windhoek with, as he said also, to connect Windhoek with the region. Okay, to make sure the national policy reaches the people and to present, you know, and to represent the president. So maybe we should stop pretending the governor is a super mayor and start actually empowering people who actually vote for. The people we actually vote for. And then there is the third view. So this is the third view, which I suspect many of you listening right now will agree with. You don't care about the fancy titles and politician, you know, and political debates. Yeah. You just want the water to flow. You want the clinic to have medicines. You want your child to get a job, has been sitting at home for 2 years now. You are tired of speeches. You want to see bricks and mortar. You want to see changes. You can touch, you can smell, you can eat. So that's a different, that's another view. That's the third view. And probably that's your view. All the three views have weight. They all have weight. And all three deserve a hearing. But what unite them is, what unite all these three views is the current setup is not working well enough. The current setup is not working well enough. Something has got to give. Something has got to give. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Big Mac, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm okay, my brother.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the sauna.
The sauna. Is it sauna? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a kind of sauna, white man.
Yeah, it's the sauna, yeah.
For my take, do you expect anything from governor will be been appointed by the president? I don't think so. This governor, they're supposed to be even appointed by our people. Either by the councillor, the way it used to be.
Yeah.
But I think we are giving too much power when it comes to president. Remember, it's the one even, like, to appoint the ombudsman, director of ICC, police commissioner. Come on, man. Why? All this power for one person.
Yeah.
No, that's where we having the issue, some of us. Because you can see that it will become a conflict of interest. The government, I have to obey what the president is saying. Whether you like it or not, if you are saying even, instead of saying no, because I'm in Wangwena, then I see Ongo, they just got a new clinic. Maybe, what about we take this clinic at Ongwerome? Then the president said, no, take it there, because I'm the one who is in charge. What do you think I'm not going to follow what he thinks, or she?
Yeah.
The problem I think is, why we are not going anywhere, because of these people have been appointed. Unlike it, the way our former counselor, like Kachari, he was able to do that because he's not a been appointed. He's been elected by the people. And he's doing in his mandatory report, people are there, and he's representing the people. That's why, if we are honestly speaking, that former counselor is supposed to be even a governor. Or even ambassador.
So what happened to Kachari, actually? I mean,
up to now, my friend, me, I don't know what he's up to, what he's doing. Because he's supposed to have a loan. Serious is not a joke. That man's supposed to have a loan. But I don't know why, if you are having honest people, you know, the last call is saying, no, even changing political party. No, sometimes we need to change political party because we can see that we can with this political party for more than 25 years, but things are just the same. Nothing improving. And if you remember last time when they lost nicely,
But sometimes even changing political party, if it's sometimes it's changing the political system, you know. The system that we probably follow, that we follow in this country, it's a problem, you know.
But do you think the the calendar, ruling party will change that if they are still enjoying it. So many things which are very obstructing our people, like now we are talking about housing.
But so even if you say IPC become dominant or something, like, you still actually follow the same system. You still have, you know, the president still have to appoint the governor, you know, those kind of stuff. It's the political party has still to put forward a person, you know, to vote for us to vote as a councillor or regional councillor or constituency, you know. So it's the same system.
But maybe they will come up with a new method of changing how the people are elected.
But it should have been in their manifesto already. It should be there in their manifesto already, but it's not.
Yeah, that's the problem, I think, what we are seeing.
Yeah.
So much political parties which are following is WAPO. That's why they are not doing well, because they are doing the same what SWAPO is doing.
It's not really much SWAPO. It's just to say this, we adopted a certain system as part of our democratic, you know, practice.
Mike, I remember it was not that until they changed it. You remember, even those years of RDP, traditional leader, they can involve in politics, and what do you call this, church leaders, they can also join politics.
Yeah.
And they change it. They change it because, and even the governor, who could be elected by what? The councillor themselves. It's the councillor who are electing themselves. And they change all those for one person.
Yeah.
What do you think why they have to change that? They are changing it because they know they want to what? To control. Who gets the piece of a big pie? That's why we have some region like Kavango, or Angwena, which are still far from others.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the people who are somewhere have been appointed today, they are appointed not because of what merit they can drive, they are comfortable. No, it's because of political affiliation. How much you are contributing when you come even to what? Campaign. That's how they've been appointed for those years. Except now we see different angle where the people are, at least you can see government moving. And some are doing expansion well, very well. But we have some other who are already, you can see that the person just dead because of what? Because he belongs to this, but he cannot drive her.
The reason why I'm saying, you know, political system, look at yesterday we were talking about Ongwediva, you know, we're talking about Ongwediva performing poorly, you know, when it comes to transactions, you know, and we can, there's nothing we can do. It could be that the people, we have incompetent people in a town council, but then there's nothing we can do until 5 years, you know, Until the five years term is over. But even then, there's still political parties will actually present their people. It could still other people that are not capable. Do you understand?
What I'm telling you is what do you think Ongwediva was doing well that time of the rest of Sotoni?
Yeah.
Ongwediva was doing well. That's why even he was appointed to be a minister of urban. And if you see, the gentleman was doing well, even when it comes to housing, he was trying to improve that. Where is he now? It's what I'm saying, Guta. Some of these, people who are doing very well, you can see they're able to move this brick to the other side. They are not given a chance. And I'm talking about the ruling party now. That's why today you have the Council of Kachari, which was doing very well in his village.
Yeah.
Why you cannot find any portfolio to give him? Well, you are sidelining people who are capable. That's the problem thing we have in this country. And this is why I'm telling you that if a person, let's imagine even like a Sangwasa. I'm telling you, like my word, I'm not everybody will know that Samuel is doing well. But I'm telling you, instead of promoting him, find him. Just make my word, my friend. That's how it is. Our ruling parties are who they deal with people. But I'm telling you, but not about to like now we are moving for voting. Let me tell you to come to the reality now. Okay, Mike, every day we have the same problem. We've been talking about housing since 1989.
Yeah.
Water, electricity, sanitation. But network, but we're still having those problems. What do you think we cannot even deal with one? Actually, if you're having a network tunnel, can not even you have water with the able people to be channeled everywhere?
Yeah.
Or even now, we are talking about even kids waking up at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock to go to school. We are talking about now, people are buying SUV Land Cruiser, which is costing 1.7 million. But you are having a kid who is waking up at 4 o'clock in Congo to go to school, to reach at the school at 8 o'clock. Come on, man. What do you want to tell me? Is this a power that we are promoting our people? Now we have a governor. We have a governor who are elected for 5 years, but he cannot see that problem. And after she's done with this 5 years, somebody come again, doing the same promise every day.
Yeah.
Now, you see why we are having this issue? Sometimes I think it's very time. Because they say, no, when you fix all those, what are you going to campaign next time? If you don't have a problem in the village. If you don't have a school with Lafa, what are you going to talk about in your campaign? The next campaign?
Yeah.
Or water, or clean water.
So there must be problems.
Yeah, there must be a problem.
It's why the other, you know, the previous callers just mentioned that, you know, sometimes if you belong to a different party, you know, in that region, in that particular area or constituency, they let it, you let it now look bad, suffer or something like that. So that it becomes no. If you join this party, this will, you know, that will change. Yeah. So that it become a political tactics of getting members or getting voted.
This is not what happened to Ata Kansela. We are talking about that. They need to be dismissed because there's an opposition party there. But I think we talk about this in the. And this equal film in your program. Then I'm saying, no, we have a photo. For example, of a correspondent with Alan Baswabo. But you can see that people who are there, they are not competent. Everything is falling apart, but nothing happened to them.
Yeah.
But then this at the Katima, people are going to be dismissed. Or you did this at the Alana Pitway, maybe if you are having a position party, people are going to be dismissed. But once they are there, but you are complaining, even like, no, guys, why Alana Fiji cannot grow? We're just having the same thing over for 5 years. And come 10 years, the council is the same, the mayor is the same, but there's no improvement. Why? Why are you promised us for 5 years ago? Why we cannot do this? Because now, remember, the government having budget. And the budget is the one who are supposed to know where it's needed mostly. If you are talking about clean water, why even Wangwenda cannot think of like to channel water from Kabango River, which is just across about maybe like what, 200 kilometers? But I think people are dying for best day. There's no water at all.
Yeah.
You are there with a school, some of the schools have been there for more than what, 20 or 30 years, but you are not able to improve those schools because. To make it even a secondary, because now kids are dropping out of school because they apparently cannot afford to send their kids to Congo or Enana. And it is what is happening to the staff also. Just imagine if you are having a kid, I mean, you are a farm, you are working at a farm, you are having a kid who is schooling at a nearby the school or the school at the Trotax. Do you think you are able to send your kid every day to come to Windows? All to the hostel, to how much you are getting at the club. That's why we are saying, these people also become more vulnerable with the way we are saying. It's us. We are making them vulnerable because they are changed also a bit. After completing grade 7, they become a school dropout.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's only level
there. Yeah.
It's a problem. It's serious, I'm telling you. And they wonder, Kucha, why if you were having a place like a Khroto, why we cannot put up a school there? We are even complaining that we are having a lot of work, we are looming the street teachers. So why we cannot put up a school there to accommodate those kids from those nearby farms?
Yeah.
My friend, me, I travel and I know very well where I'm talking. And when you go to the Galat way we are talking about, it's one of the, a lot of mine are taking place. But if you go there, people are breaking along the road. Why you cannot tell me that HLA is representing a state in color, this is, for those mine? There are a lot of, I think there's a lot we have to talk about. There's a lot of improvement in this. But I'm telling you, this is people who are appointing governors. I'm against it.
All right.
Anyway, that was my contribution.
All right, thanks for coming, Tria.
All right.
A very good morning to you. A very good morning to you. Our time is 5 minutes past the hour of 9. And we're talking about the SORAs from the governors. Do they turn into tangible result in your life, in your town, in your regions? So here's another thing. Okay, here's another thing that troubles me. When these speeches happen, when these speeches happen, what are we actually measuring? You know, what are we measuring? If you listen carefully, most SORAs sound very similar. You know, they sound very similar. It's like an AI productions, you know? So every region talks about economic development, youth empowerment, better road, better services, you know. So, but where is the hard data? The raw data. Where is the data? Where are the numbers we can check? They never actually produce numbers. They never produce data. So if the governor of Shana say last year we created 500 jobs, show us the proof. Show us the proof. If the governor of Erongo says we tired 20 kilometers of road, now show us the map. We have technology. Show us the map. Where did you tire? If the governor of Kavango says we connected 100 homes to water, now let us see the list. Give us the list. Let's see the list. Right now, there's no standard. There's no standard way to compare one region against the another. There's no standard. There's no scorecard or scoreboard. So we need to come up with a scoreboard. There's just speech after speech, promises after promises, with no easy way for ordinary citizen to hold anyone accountable. And that actually suits certain people just fine. Do you know why? Because when there's no clear numbers, when there's no clear numbers, there's no clear blame. When there's no clear number, there's no clear blame. When there's no clear blame, nobody loses their job. And when nobody loses their job, the same slow, broken system keep rolling on. It keep rolling on while the rest of us suffers. That's how it happened. Now, the president herself, yes, the highest office in the land, has told the government over and over to speed up service delivery. The president have over and over told, speed up delivery, speed up delivery. She has said development plan must become real result. that benefit real people. So we're not just saying this. This is not just something that we are saying. This is also what the, you know, the highest office in the land is actually demanding. There seems to be a disconnection between, you know, what priorities are and what we see on the ground. So she said, plans, development plans must become real results that benefit real people. But saying it from the top is also one thing. You know, saying it from the top is also one thing. Making it happen in a dusty village, you know, right there in Bunduz, in the Bunduz, making it happen in the Bunduz, you know, 2 days driven from Windhoek is another thing entirely, really. So that's a challenge. And how do we address that challenge, really? As I said, for me, I just feel that our political system doesn't seem to work in what we want to achieve. In what we want to achieve. So, a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, when I don't know how we say the decentralization. Decentralization now.
Yeah.
It's not working even.
It hasn't taken root at all.
Yeah, but why we put up just with word and then nothing on action? Because one of the day I don't know when the late president was saying that if we decentralize the money, we centralize the corruption also.
Yeah.
Now it's a centralization still, what is the difference there? Because last year the president was saying they give the 20, it was maybe 27 million. For youth projects, but the outcome there, it is very questionable. Those who applied and those who are qualified for that, the number is very questionable.
Yeah, actually, the thing is that you're right there to say there was actually about 100 and something money available for the youth development, and how many people have been, how many people actually have gone through that program so far? It's less than 100, isn't it?
It's less than 100.
Yeah.
And how many job opportunities have been created?
But the money was budgeted. The money is there, isn't it?
It's budgeted, but what you don't know, where is now? Where is the money sitting now? Where it is now?
Yeah.
Those projects, they're just creating less than 100 those job opportunities. I don't know if it is if they are a leading project. I don't know if they are operation. I never even see anything ahead. I don't know. We never even say physically that this project.
Yeah, the youth that have received money, what happened to their project and all that. We need to
don't see
we need to hear.
I don't. Maybe somebody can even call them and be saying, telling us, here the project is at our village or at our location. It's here.
Like now, like in the Sora now, in the Sora for the governors, they should have actually included some of this, that these are the youth that in our region, this is the youth that was actually given the money from the Youth Development Fund. And, you know, this is how far the project is actually growing and how many people that have employed. I don't know why they just don't give hard data.
Which we are today. I don't know. When are we going to change it? It's like word of the month and then no other people.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, the president, they come and stand in the podium, telling people, and then really, what is the want us, yeah, just today, just maybe sitting just for. Well, I don't know what are they really doing. If they come there to, they are even their national original address. It's just still built on what, on a lying, on a empty promise, and telling people which is not even, which are not there. And then we still think we are having our leaders on the right track. I don't know how can we stay on the right track if you, the situation is not even come to what to the bread table, because they are on the cross of the bread table or to the people's campaign. Even in the villages,
yeah,
you want to see the governor, even the constituency office. You won't even hear the governors having a meeting with your constituency councillor or your constituency councillor. Never. Maybe they meet in the what in the regional office.
Yeah.
But the outcome of that of that meeting, we never hear them. Until the term comes to an end. Next year, a new governor comes again. History is repeating itself.
Mm.
Until when? We are just looking at what things happening. To us,
yeah,
the poverty is really is an extreme. As what we said, no, the statistics saying that over 70 people they are just earning less than 5,000 a month.
Yeah,
but we are still saying that we are doing good. Our economy is growing negatively. If the economy is growing negative, how can you create a job? In what formula are you going to use if the economy is growing backward?
Hmm.
What formula? Then, housing. If you look at the housing there. The house, the price of the house. It is asking you leg and arm and leg and arm. People they could not afford. But the people are just living in the shack. And then you said, our government and our so on, what. Let us give them another chance. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you can do now.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution. Eh?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So 16 minutes. It's past in the hour of 9. And if you are tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And I'm your host, Big Mike. All right, so today, as you sit in your home, or driving in your car, or sitting in your office, or wherever you find yourself, you know, I want you to think about these questions with me. All right? I want us to, you know, to think further about this. All right. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Sorry, Michael, for coming back.
Yeah.
You see, my brother, he's right, the last caller.
Yeah.
But let us ask ourselves, Mike, if I give you a chicken, a hen, and I give someone an egg, you see? Then later on, whom should I go and ask, how far have you gone? Or how far have you grown?
Yeah.
Is it the one with whom I gave a chicken or a hen or the one whom I gave an egg?
Yeah. But both of them have a responsibility.
No. But an egg, you give him an egg. He's not even going to hatch it. One egg. Now, this one whom you gave a hen, you know that he will produce eggs. He can produce even chickens.
Yeah.
You see, now for us to say we focus on
you can always that's debatable, because you can always say, okay, let me take this egg to a hen that is laying so that it can hatch as well. So
that will take you time.
That's innovation now.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, if we say we must, okay, fine, we can ask the youth who got grants for that, whatever. From that budget.
Yeah.
How far have they gone? But the first thing which we should focus on, when we talk about development, when we talk about meet the government halfway, when we talk about development, That is why the government took a route of giving tender to business people. You see now, to individuals to say that, okay, fine, this one will do what? Will create employment. If I can ask you now, go in Omusati or Hangwena, Tukavangos, Zambezi, or Maheke, and so look and Oshana, all the regions.
Yeah.
See how many of those tender beneficiaries have created job and at least changed the livelihood of their employees.
Nah.
Nah, zero, if not 1%. How many of them at least constructed a school or a clinic or a hospital for that matter? To say, look,
Then when do we come to a point to say this is not working and change course?
That is the thing. Now, the governors, again, I will come back to them, supposed to deal with that issue.
Yeah.
To say, look, in my region, how many tenders were awarded to who? Then they can, with them and the councillors and traditional authorities, and even community leaders, should engage each other and say, no, tender was given to Mr. Don, you see, of 200 million or 1 billion or whatever,
yeah,
to construct the road. Yeah, the road was even half done. Where is he? Where is the money? Oh, it was done, but, you see, no quality, whatever. But most of those people don't complete their task even.
Yeah.
Some are given the security tenders to guard the premises of the government.
You but will the see structure of your governance, it's you see, that's the biggest problem, because even the tender was given, it was given by the ministry, for example, okay? So the governor, it doesn't even know, the worth of this tender, who is actually, you know. So the decision making, it's completely in a wrong place. You are asking the governor actually to oversee this, and he doesn't even know much of what is going on.
You see, I want to see one day a governor who was the president appointing a governor who is a pew from his childhood, who was a cattle herder. Then I will agree to say that no, that person doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
The governors are appointed based on their capabilities and their position. Let me say maybe how the president foresee them, to say that those, this,
yeah,
person.
No, what I mean is in terms of governing system. Yeah,
oh, okay, no,
that's,
now
that's
I understand.
I mean.
Now I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I understand. But but if you go there, you see, me and you talking about it, we were not even in Central Committee or Politburo or even run any political position.
Yeah.
But we understand what is so difficult for the governor to come and say, whoa, in my region, okay, when I deal with the president, or when I talk about service delivery and development, youth employment, employment creation, you see? Okay, now, what should I look at first? Okay, let us look at the government, the resources, the government, okay. This hospital was, the road was constructed, this tender was given to ABCD. But in return, you see, did this really happen? Was this tender or completed? There are a lot of things which is idling there.
Yeah.
Okay, this certain person was given a tender as a security company to guard these government premises. Okay, but where are his workers? Are they even benefiting? How much is he paying them? What has he given back to the community? You see, those are the things which we should look at. If those things are not working, change the policy, change the system. Tell them, look, if you are not doing ABC as a tender beneficiary, we will blacklist you.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing I said. If you are not part of the whole process, for a project that is even in your region, if you're not part of the process from the very beginning, how are you expected to actually supervise this? How do you actually expect it to control that?
Yes, but once you are told that you are the head of the region, you can also challenge. Look, if I tell you that, okay, you are a cattle herder, head of the cattle.
Yeah.
The owner of the cattle would love you to see, to say that, no, this cattle, this one, even if he want to slaughter one of them, he will ask you and you will be the one giving him directive or the decision. Say, no, we cannot slaughter this one because it is the best cattle which produce milk, or this one, the breed is fine, or this. You see, the governor is supposed to be like that.
The power always lies with the one with the purse, my dear.
I understand, but what are they doing with them, if that is the case? Mm-hmm. Now, because once you appoint, or it's just like a window dressing. Then if it's window dressing, let the president tell us that, no, they don't have power. But if they let them exercise at least what they have, not to go and visit speeches, cutting ribbons of constructed clinic. And no, they must go on the ground and find out. Yeah. If there is no road, make sure that the road should be there. And who, and they must also be part and parcel of that selection process, who should be awarded the tender. I can say in my region, if you get the tender in my region, after the completion of that tender, I want to see you trained. If people were laborers, at least at the end of that tender for 3 years, maybe you are building a district hospital.
Yeah, like, I want like to, your region, you also have your own criteria to say, look, okay, in my region, this is the kind these are the criteria for who we want actually to work, you know, for this particular project in our region, you know?
Yes. You might say, look, after the completion of this, I want to see those who were laborers being plasterers or being tilers or being, been carpenters and so on, or semi-skilled. You see?
Yeah.
It's not just to give them salary, train them also.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah, skill transfer. After that, I want you also to look back. Look, you are constructing a hospital. At least do something.
Yeah,
then the person can even buy chairs or do something, or at least build a clinic, because those people are getting exorbitant money and underpaying the employees. But we are just looking at them like, okay, no, we are looking at the Holy Cross, you see, which is in the church. Pray there, it doesn't move, it doesn't say anything, just because of the belief. That's how we are taking politics. Same like we are taking this Christianity. You go there and bow, knee down, pray, whether the problem still persists or not, you just believe.
Yeah.
Not, it must not be business as usual.
Yeah.
We must change, and the president must, or the president must also look at that. Once I appoint a governor, your duty is ABC, and he or she must tell the nation, if the governor failed to do ABC as their duty, tell me.
Yeah.
Or report them to this authority.
We have so many people that are followers rather than, even those who are leaders, they actually act as followers rather than as leaders, you know, who always wait for an order. Yeah? So they're not visionary. They don't think ahead.
Mike, in the problem of us Africans, we have three issues. We believe it is your culture. You see, whether it's wrong or right, you believe in it.
Yeah.
You don't criticize it. You don't question it.
Yeah.
Religion. If you are Roman Catholic or Anglican or whatever, full gospel, whatever happened in that church, unless you are convinced otherwise.
Yeah.
If you believe in a certain political party, although you know that your leader is wrong, you will never ever accept or correct them.
Yeah.
Unless you are maybe left behind or left out or whatever, or you did not receive any certain thing, then what you will do? You will resign and go to another political party. You see? But we don't come and say, look, comrade, or whatever, patriotism, or whatever you call it, please, here you are wrong. Even your leader, you can call him to order as leadership. They say, no. What we are saying is not right. Here is not right. Can you just rectify it, or can you just go this way? But we don't do that.
You're afraid to be sidelined, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And that one comes down to the ground. Who will sideline an ordinary voter? Who?
Yeah,
you see, or ordinary follower.
Exactly.
Yeah, those are the people who are supposed to have power to say, hey, even if that person comes and says, no, we are well organized now today. Sorry, before you start, you came to us, yes, we have some questions for you, comrade or honorable councillor. We have questions. You don't tell us what to do. We have questions, and we will tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Or we will tell you that what you said is not what you did. What happened to what you told us during election campaign?
Yeah.
You see? Those things, we are not doing it. But when we see, they will put music, dance after that.
This is exactly what we're trying to do. We want to empower the ordinary voters, the ordinary citizens, to have this power, you know, which we don't realize that we do have it. Yeah. Yeah.
You see, what is this? The Bantu Belegen Corporation, BBK.
Yeah.
You see, where the old system empowered the black business people. You see, to have businesses. It worked because the policies were strong.
Yeah.
You see, you must have a shop, a running shop, employ people, you must produce people. It must be a shop, not a cooker shop. It was strong, but now you can give a person tender I don't know whether there are kickbacks involved. I don't know. Because why can't you just punish that person?
Yeah.
And those people are going scot-free. You will drive a new car. You will see tender was awarded. It will be in the newspaper after that. It's just like lighting fire or making fire on grasses, using grasses. You see? No, those are the things that we should look at. We cannot just suffer standing in the sun or in bad weather voting, but nothing is coming forth.
Yeah. All right.
Seriously. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, welcome back. A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. And we're looking at this, at the governance. Yeah, and I have a few questions here, really, for us to think, you know. If a governor, for example, okay, if a governor has no really power over budgets or projects, for example, why do we expect them to perform our miracles? I think this is one thing. We'll come back after this, okay?
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu walirongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba dona ovyu nedia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwetho twika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva owa peresente dano komieve vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo komieve hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente mirongo ivari na dano Komiedi ya mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinun.
All right. So, do our governance system, you know, setting up our governor for failure, you know? So, as I said, if a governor has no really power over budget and projects, you know, in the regions, why do we expect them to perform miracles? Are we setting them up to fail? So, if the same problems, let's look at other things as well. If the same problems appear in speech after speech, year after year, at what point do we stop calling it a challenge? You know, because now you hear this challenge, you know. At what point do we actually stop calling it a challenge and start calling it a failure of the system? At what point? So because we can't go on year after year, speech after speech, there comes a time where we say, this is not working. We don't seem to have monitoring and evaluation system, evaluation, you know, mechanisms. Yeah? So at what point do we say, this is not working? That's a failure of a system. Should our regional governors be given more executive power and money? Okay? Not just because you can get executive power, but if you don't have money, you know, to get things done, you know, nothing happened. So should we give them more executive power and more money, not more money, and money to get things done? Or should we rather pour the power into elected regional councils, the people we actually voted for? So these are some of the things that I want you to think. So why are there no standard numbers across all 14 regions? So kind of like, you know, so what I'm asking is that why there are no standard numbers across all 14 regions so we can see who is delivering and who is just talking? Yeah. So we need to see that. We need that kind of scoreboard. Yeah? Now, we know that if a school in Ohangwena perform badly, we see it in the exam result. In the exam result, we can see all the school and we know who performed and who didn't perform. If a region underperforms on development, where is the report card? Where is this? We need that. Why don't we have? These are simple things that should be really, really. Where are the region? Where the governor are falling under the president? Shouldn't you give us this the report card of how the regions are doing? Yeah? You will be shocking. The reason why these things are not done, you will be shocked. Yeah? And most importantly, when will the state of region address stop being a yearly ceremony and start being a day of reckoning, really? Just, yeah? Now, my dear listeners, Namibia is not poor. It's not poor in spirit. It's not a poor country in spirit. So we have resources. So the brains, we have resources, we have the brains, we have, you know, we have the will to build a nation that works for everyone. The will is there. The will is there. But we cannot build it on a speeches alone. We cannot eat words. We cannot live inside promises. We cannot drive on intentions. So we cannot drive on intentions. So the state of regional, and this is very important for me. Okay? The state of regional address should not be a ritual where politicians gather, you know, to pat each other on the back. Now, it should be a moment of brutal, you know, brutal honesty. What I want to see, okay? Really, even in this kind of report, okay? So I'm going to pick you up now, but let me say this. I want to see this report. It's a simple report, people, okay? This is a simple report. Here is what we promised last year. Okay, I'm going to give you a template now. I'm going to give now the governors, okay? I'm going to give the governors a template. Here's the template for reporting, okay? Now, here is what we promised last year. Simple one side, here is what we promised last year. And next to it, here is what actually we did. So this is what we promised. This is what we did. And then here is the proof. Simple report. Yeah? And here is what has failed. Here is what failed, what we failed at. We also want to know that. So here is what we failed at, and here is how we will fix it. Simple report. Okay? Here is what we promised last year. Here is what we did. Here is actually what we did. Here is the proof of what we did. You know, if you say you built actually 5 clinics, let's see, where are they, you know? So, and here is what we failed at. Okay, we failed. Here is what we failed at. And here is how we will fix it. That is accountability look like. That's what accountability looks like. That's what respect for the taxpayer look like. Eh? That's what leadership look like. So now we get all this, you know, this kind of report that doesn't have data. It doesn't have any data. Simple template. So I must go to the president now and say, hey, this is a very simple number. Seriously, this is what we promised, and this is what we actually did. So, and here's the proof. Simple as that. So, and here's what we failed, and this is what we are going to do. And this is how we're going to fix that. Okay? So now we have governors talking, even sometimes ministers, you listen to minister, talking in the way that is more suggestive, kind of like suggesting, you know, in a way that, you know, we have unemployment. If we do this, if we do this, if we could have done this, if, you know, it's all proposal. You know, the report, these are not report, these are proposal. Hmm? 08-333-66091. So, if our governors are to remain relevant, as most of you indicated, and I believe they can be, they must either be given the power to match their responsibility, or their role must be explained honestly to the public so we stop blaming them for things they cannot actually control. Because we keep blaming them for things maybe they cannot even control. So, and whichever path we choose, one thing is non-negotiable. The people of Namibia deserve to see progress. We deserve to see progress. So a progress that we can see, a progress that we can feel, a progress that we can touch and smell, that we can use as our five senses and, you know, we can smell it. We can smell Kapana. So better roads, clean water, decent homes or decent houses, job for our youth, you know, clinic that have medicines, you know, school that teach, you know. Not next year, not someday, now. Yeah. That's what we want now. And that's what you should be asking. So when the next round of these addresses approaches, don't just listen for the fancy words, you know. Listen for numbers. That's why I love numbers. Listen for the numbers. Listen for the proof. And if the proof is missing, pick up the phone. Maybe something that you can do that now, because there has been koras that have been done, you know, or soras that have been done, not kora. So call the station, call here, call at Eagle FM, call your counselor, make noise on social media. So, because the only way this changes, if we, the people, refuse to accept the same speech twice, we must actually refuse to accept the same speech twice. You did tell us last time that, but we have been listening to the same thing over and over, for many years. This is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So 08-333-66091. So you can come through and have your contribution.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasana na anaalongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Ii moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. This is your eye. We are here. Pop out. We're really pop out, you know, to see what is going on and bring it to you. Okay. We are looking at what is happening and bringing it up, bringing it to you. All right. And, our time, 44 minutes past the hour of nine. We still have plenty time. To tackle other issues as well. We're looking at the state of regional address and our governors. So, yeah. So, and if you want to, you know, to contribute on that, you're most welcome to come through. And, we're gonna go ahead after this.
This winter, Washambamo is turning your shopping into winning. Spend 200 Namibian dollars or more at any shop in Washambamo and you could win a 500 Namibian dollars shopping voucher every Friday. The more you shop, the more chances you have to win. Don't miss out. Visit Washambamo in Ondangwa from 3rd to 31st July 2026. Shop, enter your till slip with your name and number into the competition box located in the mall. And stand a chance to win a shopping voucher from Washambamo. Don't miss our lucky winner live draw on Eagle FM every Friday from 1500 hours.
All right, do that if you wanna win. You know, and so yeah, visit the Washambamo and for. You know, it might be your lucky day, you know. All right. And, yeah, we're moving forward. So now, all right. So, well, are you still on board? You know, grab your tea, grab your shikundu. You know, it's a time now to get, you know, and grab your kashipembe. No, kashipembe is too heavy. No, not your kashipembe. What? Okay. So sit down and let's unpack together. Let's unpack the day. Now, so we have an article and a story in today's edition of our e-newspaper, The Villager, is, so the minister, and this is a story by Anacleta Haikera. So Minister James Sangwasa, an urban and rural, development minister, well, dropped into Rundu this week. And let me tell you, he did not come, you know, to share. I mean, he didn't go to, you know, just to shake hands or even maybe get somebody to go and let's go and have a kapana together. No. The man came with a big stick, with a big stick and a big message. All right. He came with a really, everything was big, you know, big sticks and big nopkiri and big message. Now, and if you are one of those, if you are one of the thousand of Namibian waiting for a piece of land in Rundu, or not just in Rundu, or anywhere in this country for that matter, you need to listen very carefully to what just happened. Okay? You need to listen to what just happened, because this is not just a Rundu story. This is your story. This is our story. Okay? So let's unpack it together. So Minister Sangwasa, Honorable Na Sangwasa, sat down with the Rundu Town Council and basically told them, stop playing games. Okay, those are some, I'm just paraphrasing, just put, make it more what he would have said. But this is what he says. Stop playing games. Stop cutting corners. Eh? So every piece of land you hand out must come with the ministerial approval. Eh? That's what he said. So make sure that you read the story, the full story. You know, I'm just giving some angles that are very interesting, you know, the interesting part of the story. But read the full story in our e-newspaper, today's newspaper. And if you are interested in economic and business news, well, that's the paper that you need to subscribe to. So, and it's free. It's a free subscription. Okay. Or what you need to send is just, or what you need to do is send, just send, a WhatsApp message to 081-241-44. You know, just say subscribe. So, and definitely you'll be receiving your free, digital, copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So, make sure that you do that now. Just do that now. 081-244-4144. All right? Just do that. All right? So, a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Big Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you, Uncle Pona?
Fine, thank you.
Mm.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah, the speeches that and the presentation that are being done by the regional governor.
Yeah,
I think it's just a good platform for us to also understand what is really happening there.
Mm.
There are, because those ones are done actually on the regional base kind of scenario.
Yeah.
And we are supposed to now also, when the speech are being presented, or presentation like what the governors, regional governors do,
yeah,
we also supposed to then identify, looking at some loopholes, some gaps. If they say yes, we have done this and this and that and that and that. For us, within those who are residing within those regions, we should also be able to grasp some of the gaps that are identified or the differences.
Yeah.
But then if you are not doing that, because we might just look at it as just a mere speech. That's what they do, and that's how, you know.
Yeah.
And then we have that familiar spirit of not even learning anything there or grabbing anything there that could be of importance to us.
Yeah. So that because, what you mean is this is also a bit, it's also information for people in that region, and and for us to be able now to see, okay, there is a gap here, and we need to do something.
Exactly, because if you now they say now like they saw Ongwena, they say yes because of this water, or because of this youth opportunity, because of this other areas, maybe in terms of fiscal infrastructures or any other area where we think there's potential to create some kind of jobs or wealth and things like that. Just like the information that you are presenting to us here.
Yeah. What I agree with you is that when now the governor actually present, for example, you know, talking as you mentioned water, at least we should be able to listen to the governor and be able to say, but last year, you, at this point in time, you promised us about this and this. What happened? We should be able to hold them accountable to what they promise us. And sometimes something that we don't do as citizens, we don't even listen, maybe even to the Sora.
Exactly, we just say, this is what they do. You know, like when you used to go with gender issue.
Yeah.
People they become so familiar to it, and they are so accustomed to that, and whatever important thing that's going to be said there, people don't care about. They just, you know, that's what they do, and, you know. But good opportunities are going. So the other thing is on the youth, I know youth have benefited, because there was also an article in the newspaper where they were saying this number of youth came from Oskoto. This other one, even though Oskoto was the least one in terms of application, this other one. But you know, those people, usually they don't come and say, yes, I've benefited from the things. Why? Because people are very busy. So busy that...
Do you know what, sometime what, my point, you know what, sometime where the government actually do injustice to itself is when sometimes you have actually a lot of things that might have happened in the region or whatever, but if you don't quantify them, you know, for example, maybe there are youth who actually receive, as I said, who receive this money from youth development. So can we have them come and say, okay, report, and then we can be able now to see that has been successful, and we can replicate that. For now, we don't hear anything. You understand?
People, those people are doing it on their own individual basis. For them to come here, unless you grab one and say, okay, can I please interview you for 5 minutes or 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Because if you take it from your busy schedule, they don't come. But they have benefited. So, like, for example, when I was looking at them and this evening, the one that just closed on the 24th last week. So a number of them have applied. Even though it's not encouraging to me, because 22, unless they added some numbers, really at the date when the deadline was already on the line. But many, many people don't come. They are successful. They are now satisfied. Do you think they will just come on their own thing, spending their own time when they have just started managing their new office?
So they are now driving Land Cruisers, yeah?
Now they are now driving the Land Cruiser. You think the person has gone? So it's true. Maybe they, like you are saying, that maybe they are also not doing themselves a good favor.
Yeah.
But I'm so sure that there are a lot of people, my children, when they get some of those benefits, and they did, even though they do it on their own, when I ask them, what is happening there? I'm just ready to assist there. Then you find out that, no, daddy, me, I'm sorted. Yeah. But they are not connected. Eh? I don't think my children have got any, they know anybody in that political sphere. but then they don't come out and then stay there and motivate others, inspire others. You could only see them when they go on those meetings and they are, see, I've seen your daughter on the platform presenting something. Oh, is that so? Yes. So I don't know. So we need also to make sure that let's come out. If you have benefited from something and you know that it can motivate others to do the same, let them do that. But the conclusion is that when the governors are presenting, because these things are now on the regional base, the needs that are being identified on regional base. So it is now, my question was, or my take was, why can't in the constituency, not this constituency, you cluster some villages there, and you know how many youth are there, how many graduates have come from university, how many is from those VTC, and all these things. It is so difficult for us to map and create a roadmap for us to really fish out. You know what you do in the spiritual arena? Go and fish out. You are now the what? go and fish out those people who are there. Can't you just go and fish out those ones who are, do not have employment in your village? Like, you know, there is the way we used to be managing in Swapo. Camps. So you know each and every person who's there in that camp, in any particular location. You know how many people are there. If you are missing somebody, you know that person is not there, is dragging behind. The same should also apply here. I can use the same strategy. Exactly. You know the people from your university.
Yeah, so the governor, the counselors, you know, you should know who, how many people are in your constituency that are not employed, how many of them are qualified, who have actually graduated, you know, how many are old, how many are pensioners you have, you know, you should be able to, you know.
You should be able to, so that you know how many people are able to do some work. Yeah. And then you can be able to then plan and say, okay, the government is offering these things. Most of this information is just so simple to manage within your village. It's not just be driving and then you see people playing cards there. Why are they playing cards or dominoes? Why are they standing there? Is it because they have got nothing to do? But you have got the land, able land within your community, and you know the projects that are coming from the central government. You were talking about decentralization. Decentralization is one of my something that I like most.
Yeah.
And it's taking place. Of course, we do not have the most of the qualified people to do this, whether it's fiscal decentralization or political administration and all these other things, but it's taking place. Most of this institutions are working together because most of their services are being decentralized. But we don't take opportunity for those the areas that where we know that yes, this service is brought to us, this opportunity is brought to us. We do not do that. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right, thanks for coming through. All right, I'll wait. 083-66091. 083-66091. So to come through if you want to have your to contribute on the show. Now, we were talking about Minister Sankwasa in Rundu, telling the Rundu Town Council that stop playing games, stop cutting corners. Every piece of land you hand out must come with ministerial approval. So you cannot just wake up one morning. You cannot just wake up one morning and draw a line on a map and give a plot to your cousin or your friends or whoever, you know, slipped you something under the table. No, there is a law. You know, there is a law. Follow it. All right? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Big Mike. Just 1 minute or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know that, Mike, man? The thing also which I'm seeing at the government is accountability.
Yeah.
They don't take accountability when it comes to their counselor, towards their counselor. Because the counselor are missing up big time. You cannot tell me you're a counselor, but every time you are just in window. That's why last time you heard with what mayors were in window, but they are representing the other town,
Yeah, they are mayor of other town, and they don't live in the town. They are mayor.
They don't live in there. Exactly. That is the problem, and that is why we have today school inspectors. It doesn't know even the whole, the people who are in the circuit, like when it comes to principal.
Yeah.
That's why we are lacking so many departments. That's why, some of us, even like now, I wake up in the what? You wake me up at 3 o'clock. Then you ask me who's the first cabinet for the founding father. I will give it to you.
Yeah.
Even I know, even the directors and so on, those times. But like now, you ask even the small kid, if she tell you she knows the Minister of Education and the Deputy, she should not tell the Minister of Trade or even the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
that is how we mess up. Because we are living in the salon now that nobody cares anymore. We only care if we are hungry. If there's no food in the house, it's where you see, yes, there's a problem.
But that's a very dangerous sign, you know, when people don't care anymore, it's just because they have given up now. You know, they don't believe in the system anymore. They don't believe in the institution anymore, you know. So they're completely given up.
I'm telling you, Mike, and that is the reason. That's why I'm saying, you know, trust, you have to be in it.
Yeah.
And once you broke the people's trust, who care about you anymore? That's why even you find them what they are doing in their campaign. Only maybe small kid who can come and check because they are driving fancy cars on the road. The convoy, they come and check the convoy. But a lot of people, they don't care. They are even staying away from. That's the problem I think we have. And that's what we are building a better station when it comes to our nation.
Yeah.
And it's what is happening. That is what is happening. Because I'm telling you, people are giving up when you are sidelining people who are important in the community. Look, you'll be surprised if we have an independent candidate even as a Kachari. I'm telling you, just that gentleman, if he just come and they say, no, I want to contest, you will see the different story.
Yeah.
And then we have example of those. Why should we?
I'm absolutely with the mind that if the system it doesn't work, if the policy doesn't work, change it. You know,
exactly.
You can go on saying service delivery and you know
and
so many promises and speeches and whatever, but if it could be that the system it doesn't work, it's just not working. Change it.
I don't think it really is a system. Those people, they know what they are doing. They know. It's not a system. There's nothing without a loophole. Remember, we are governing ourselves.
Yeah, maybe.
And
it's also where you think, you know, you're right by saying, to say, look, if, say, for example, one also you have to look into also, if let's say, for example, you're a business person. Let me put it this way. If now, do the white, let's say a white area where you have actually white people. The white people are not politically sensitive. So there won't be if you are campaigning, you won't actually go to the white people because what are you going to tell them?
Exactly.
Unless you really tell them some ideas that you're gonna come up, but you're not gonna talk to them that we bring water here, we'll bring electricity here, we'll bring.
It's
not their need. You understand? So for you to keep yourself in the game, you know, people should constantly have this need. You know, and just do a little bit so that next time they think, okay, it's gonna be better. Just do a little bit so you keep them in that situation to actually serve you.
You know, Big Mike, not only about our white compatriots, go to our black people in Olympia or Pioneer Park. What are we going to convene there talking about?
Yeah.
You can't tell them, no, we are going to bring you a job. They already have a job. You can't tell them about housing. They already have housing. Our house, water, or electricity. So maybe you have to change your tone, like, you know, guys, since we discover oil, there's a oil block available for you guys in the what? Oh, there's a quota for fish.
Yeah.
That is maybe, or tenders. That's how we are talking about it with rich people. Because you cannot tell me, you come to Olympia and then you're talking about sanitation. People, they will look at, is this one come from what?
You're actually doing like a pastor who is actually telling people who actually telling people who have come to church, you don't come to church. You know?
Yeah.
It's a right message to the wrong people.
Exactly. So that's why we are here.
So if you go to the Shibin there and talk to the people, don't come to church. Yeah, then it's the right message to the right people.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's how it is. That's what I'm telling you. Sometimes these things are our own doing. And then our politicians, they know exactly they are getting away with it. Because as a Namibian, we become so ignorant. It's ignorant in the fact that, you know, nobody care about anymore, like anything happened. As long as it's happening to him,
yeah,
his own family, it's the way you see it's coming out. But anything happened, like now we have kids who are dying for hunger, like in Uganda, for today. Nobody cares. Some of us, because just losing one person is too many. A country where we are having a lot of natural resources. We cannot accept that.
Hmm.
And it's happening, but nobody cares unless it's happening to his family. It's where you see them coming out.
Yeah.
And the problem, the way things are God created, the moment you are laughing the other side, tomorrow you are in the one, need the help of those people, and the other people laughing at you. That's how we know the road is, when they say the road is a circle, it's always like that. How many of them we know, they used to have their political father, they inherit a lot of things, but when you are talking about now, some of us living, they are better in their life, the life which they are living. It's a problem, it's a cycle. And at the moment we are seeing this, when you see the politicians are stealing in their 70, they think they want to live welfare to their seat. But at the end of the day, they don't know that the people who are crying, a person having this kid dying because of what? Lack of food. That's my joke, and apart, I would have come out of far away. Then I can't get the food, so you are no more. Anyway,
Mike,
let me give
you another question. All right. 11 minutes past the hour of 10. And we are on it. We are on it. So I was looking at the story. I mean, we're unpacking a story in the Villager. So, and it's about the Minister Sangwasa, Honorable Sangwasa, James Sangwasa, and he was talking to the Rundu Town Council. So where he was saying every piece of the land, you know, you hand out must come with the ministerial approval. So you cannot just wake up, you know, one morning and you kind of like, you draw a line on the map and start giving plots to whoever you want, to your cousins, to your friends, to, you know, whoever slip, you know, something under your table. No, there's a law. The minister said, there is a law and you must follow it. Okay? So now, listening to that, that sounds really good news. I mean, we kind of like, okay, bravo, minister, you know. Yeah, the big man from Windhoek is finally putting his foot down. Eh? He's finally put his foot down and he's talking about transparency. He's talking about fairness. He's talking about accountability. He's talking beautiful words. Eh? Now, but here's the thing, okay? You know, this is unpacking the day, you know. But here's the thing, my dear people. Now, my mind always go like this, you know, all over. Now, and I'm started to thinking, okay, why did it take a ministerial visit for the council to be reminded of the law? Think about it. Eh? Why would it take a ministerial visit actually to be reminded of the law? If the council already knows the law, and they should, they should know the law, because this is literally their job. So why does the minister need to fly all the way to Kavango to tell them, hey, do your job properly. Why? Eh? That alone, if you think it very, 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 very careful, that alone tells you something is rotten. Something is rotten. Either the council genuinely does not know the procedures, which is scary if it's true, or they know the procedures, but they choose to ignore them, which is even scarier, you know? So which is one? Which one is it? We need to ask, which one is it? Now, let's get into some of the issues. So, let's get to the meat of the matter. So, Minister Sangwasa raised a red flag about a double land allocation. What does that mean? It means one plot has been given to two different people. Maybe three, or maybe more. Eh? Maybe more. So, you apply for land, you wait 5 years, 10 years, you pay your fees, you keep your paper safe, then one day you go to check on your plot. And guess what? Somebody else is already building a house on it. And that person also has a paper. They also has a paper. Also paid fees. Also waited years. So, how does this happen? How does this happen? No, it happened when record keeping is in a mess. It happened when record keeping is in a mess. Simple as that. Yeah? It happened when the left hand, how do they say it? When the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. Or worse, it happens when someone else, or when someone inside the system is deliberately creating confusion so that land can be stolen quietly. It could be someone creating confusion so that land can be stolen, you know. So, because let's be honest, okay? If you give the same plot to two people, one of them is going to find. One of them is going to pay lawyers. One of them might even pay more money to fix the problem. So, and in the middle of that confusion, who benefits? Not the ordinary man on the street, of course. Not you. No. The people who benefit are those creating the confusion in the first place. So Sangwasa told the council, verify your document, establish the facts. But again, I ask, should a minister have to say this? Should this not be happening every single day in that office? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mike, I noticed something that people don't want to come in.
Yeah, no, we still have quite a lot of things to say. Yeah, so, but just go on quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Basankwasa. Yeah, I can see sometimes the confusion is... Are we together?
Yeah, we're together. We're listening.
Look, we have these councillors.
Yeah.
Who are elected by the public to serve them. Okay. Now, they are apparently policymakers. You see?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, okay, when it comes to accountability, they are the one responsible for that. Budget approvals, they approve budget.
Yeah.
Now, coming to management, you see? Those are professional staff. You see?
Yeah.
Who execute the policy put up by the politicians. Now, let us look there. If the minister is supposed to do this, but he can't, he doesn't have that. As you said, you have the body, but the hands, your hands are cut off.
Yeah.
Look here. you will find, and it's evident, some political councillors are just there. They can't even read or write. Let us also start at voters to see who are we sending there. Do they understand when it comes to policy making?
Yeah.
Do they have necessary requirement like educational background, experience, and what so forth? It's not because this one is a business person or he talked too much in the public. Yes, he can, but no, sending
but
him there...
That's a scrutiny that has to be within the political party.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And for us, look, political party does not just sound like rain or like weather. No, it is created or established by people. Now, when you create a political party, the constitution of the party, the manifesto, everything, the ideology, those things are put up by the people. That's where you can just say no. In our political party will consist of A, B, C, D. But what they will be here is we don't want to exclude everyone. Yes, that person can serve.
But do you know how? But do you know how the selections are done in a district, and then from the district to the section, from section to the, you know, to
from the
region.
Branch, actually, maybe.
You understand?
So yeah.
And this person actually, whatever the popularity of that person, end up be in the position of you stand for the regional council, you see, but they may not be competent.
That's what I said early.
These are the issues. Yeah.
Yes. Now Sankwasa can go and say that.
Yeah.
But it will not change anything. You see? Because those people will tell him, "Ela wena, wait, I was elected."
You see?
To serve the people, but serving what and how?
Yeah.
When it comes to that, because people should understand what to allocate land to an individual, who should that individual be? Let us look at, can they sustain or can they manage to pay water, electricity, or to repay the loan or whatever? Who are those people who can benefit from this? Or just to give land because of political believe to say that, no, we are here for the people and people should vote for us come next election, which is not.
Yeah. That's but sometimes, the other thing he pointed out, the other thing he pointed out last time, he said, you know, and it's and this is a fact, you know, these people comes in without anything, without any land. And then as soon as they become councillors, they have multiple plots and, you know, and nobody even follow up to say, how do they acquire this? You know, in 2 or 3 years, you didn't have anything, and now you have about 10 plots in around the same constituents where you are a councillor.
That's what I'm saying, because look, politicians work like these street vendors, you see, and taxi conductors. It's true.
Yeah.
To them, they are together, and they have their differences, and they have also some where they operate, how can I say now, together.
Yeah.
Look, to them, when they are dealing with something corrupt thing, to say that, okay, if you get this one, you give me this one. They are friends. But when it comes during campaigns, when we see them, like they are different. But if they sit there and put up a policy, everyone knows that other way or another, and all of us must benefit from it.
Yeah.
That's why those people will not challenge each other sometimes. You will see them, yes, they will come up, create tender, let us give this. This one should construct this road. This one can. A council, how much are their salary? How much are they even earning, the local authority councillor?
So it's like in the parliament, when the increment was actually brought in the parliament, nobody opposed it.
Nobody, even those who were against
the opposition.
And corruption and who used to call others elite, they became eliteness or elitists. You see? Now, the thing is, sometimes when they eat together, they are fine. But what I'm trying to say, the minister, what he should look at first now, at least, to change, but I don't know whether they can change it. Let the policy be done by the management, who will understand. Then the political leadership should just like watchdogs to see that, okay, because remember that if my party is the dominant, you see, now, we want to allocate or to build houses in a certain area where we know that our voters come from there.
Mm.
Do you think we will also equally do to, because we will dominate, once we dominate in that chamber, that's it. Whether the other political party is saying the right thing or not, we will just look at our majority, then we pass it. We pass that law.
Yeah.
Or we pass that budget or whatever. And the management must approve it. What could have done is let us change to say that, okay, the bylaws or whatever should exist and that should be done by the management, who at least understand. And this one must check, okay, if you put 10 houses in Okoriangaba, why not at One Nation?
Yeah.
Then the management must answer them based on their knowledge. No, you see now, here the excavating, or we looked at this one, we built last year, we built there, and we are just doing it yearly, 10 years here, 10 years there, 10 years there. And the beneficiary has elected or selected based on this criteria. At least they will understand. But just really giving all this power to the politicians who are there without any knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen some deputy mayors coming like a cleaner from this, a deputy mayor. Imagine, for God's sake. Huh? It is madness to put an engine and often Mercedes Benz to a, in a puzzle. It can't. It can't really. Or you can compare like, okay, all of them are sedans, put a puzzle or a what with a Mercedes Benz. Let us see. Who will reach Okahanja within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Immediately, because the blind people are those who doesn't understand. We cannot. And that land will be given like that as long as those politicians have power to make policies or to change policies.
Yeah.
That's why you see, the same apply to them, to constituency councillors or whatever you call it. That's why you see, if you ask me or I can ask you, who is the director, the regional director of education in commerce? Most of the people don't know them. Or the director of health in commerce. You see? But if you ask who is the mayor or the CEO, they will already know. The mayor of commerce, of Windhoek, they know. If you ask the constituency council of Tobias Hainyeko, they will know. But do they know the person who's supposed to know everything, who is the director, regional director? We don't know them. Those people are relaxed. They are seated.
Yeah.
Those are the people who are supposed to do the do's, and the others must just watch and say, okay, why are you not doing this? Then they give the answer. Because if you want to help them accountable, that's how you start.
Yeah.
You see? Mm-hmm. You cannot even, if I mess up as a council or as a CEO or as a management committee or whatever, how will you come to me and say, do I pass policy? Do I? No. Who pass policy? Now go to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When you go to them, they need a translator. But how do you pass this? It's not even written in Oshoambo. You see? Or in Silozi. You see, those are the things which should be changed.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, fine. Okay.
All right, man.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, Samkwasa told the council, verify your document, establish the facts, you know. But again, I ask, should a minister have to say this? You know, should this not be happening, you know, every single day in that office? What are the council workers doing from 8 to 5, if not verifying documents? What are the computer for? What are the files for? I think this is not rocket science. This is basic administrations. As I said, when actually minister have to come and tell you to do that, something is honestly horribly, horribly wrong. All right? Okay. So then there is this other thing that came out. Residents are saying people are selling plot on Facebook, like they are selling secondhand phones, you know? So you scroll through your phone, you scroll through your timeline, and there is it. Plot for sale in Rundo. 80,000. Serious buyer only. You know, serious buyers only. But hold on. This is a municipal land. Yeah? But this is a municipal land. This is a communal land. No? Since when did land that belong to all of us become a private business for a few clever individuals? Yeah? Okay, let us be clear. Let's be very, very clear about something, okay? If you get a plot from the council, that plot is for you to build a home. Maybe a farm. Maybe for your children, It's not, you know, it's not for you to flip like a beggar at Wimpy or so. Yeah? So because when you sell that plot on a Facebook, you are not just making money. You're not just making money for yourself. You are jumping the queue. You know, you are taking a resource meant for housing and turning into a trading commodity. So, and while you're making your profit, you know, while you're making your profit, how many families are still sleeping in the shacks? How many young people are still living with their parents, because they cannot get a piece of land? So the resident who spoke to our newspaper, to the villager, they see this and they know what is happening. And they're asking the council to investigate these Facebook transactions. But here's my question. So where is the enforcement? If a resident on the street can see land being advertised and sold illegally on social media, why can the council not see it? Do they not have phones? Do they not have internet? Yeah. Or is it that they see it, but they choose to look away? It could be. It could be that they see it, but they choose to look away. Now, you remember when I said follow the money? When I always said, you know, follow the mullah. Okay? Now, here is where Minister Sankwasa pulled out the big gun. he was just, you know, now he decided, okay, I'm going to pull out the big gun, you know. I don't know what's the big gun, you know. So now he told the council, sort out your audit record. Okay? Sort out your audit record, bring them up to date, because if you don't, I will not approve your budget. That is the big gun. All right? I will not approve your budget. Okay, let me translate that. Let me just translate that for you. Okay, well, you can hear it, but let me just translate it. So the council need money from the central government to run the town, to fix the road, to provide water, to collect rubbish, you know. If the minister block that budget, the whole town suffers. So Sangwacha is basically saying, you want money? Show me your book first. So you want money? Show me your book first. Show me where the previous money went. And I applaud for that. That's accountability. That's transparency. Eh? And this is powerful. It is powerful. Because too often in this country, we throw money at local authorities and we never even ask what happened to it. It has been like that. Eh? We throw money to the local authorities. Eh? And you're only gonna find out when it comes to the auditor generals, when the report coming from the auditor generals. So here, I think I like that. And even any one of you, this is what you expected for whatever you do. Okay? When you use public money, so some questions basically saying, hey, if you want money to do all this, show me your books first. Show me your book and how did you and where the previous money went. So the road stay full of potholes. Streetlights stay dark. Water projects stay unfinished. But the money disappeared. The money disappeared. Where to? Into whose pocket? So, yes. Hold back the budget, Mr. Minister. I support you for that. Hold the budget back. So, make them sweat. But will you actually follow through? That's also another question. Will you actually follow through? Or is this just, you know, sometime we have seen ministers, you know, or it's just, you know, it's just about just talk for the radio or for the newspapers or things like that, or for the cameras, or whatever the case may be. Are you going, you know, to follow through? But, okay, being fair, he has actually, you know, the minister, Mr. Sangwasa, has actually followed through in many things. Okay? So he has followed through in many things. So now, of course, the reason why we ask here, we analyze in this way, is because we have heard tough talk before. You know, we have heard this from different minister, prime minister, president herself. You know, we have seen ministers make threats, you know, and then nothing happens. So the councillor promises to behave, the minister releases the money, and 6 months later, we are back in the same mess. Yeah? We have seen that. So what makes this, that's why we always ask this, what makes this different? So, with Minister Sangwasa, we have seen changes. We have seen really follow up, you know, follow through. You know, we hope he does that. But the question goes to any other ministry. So any other minister that, you know, talk tough. Eh? So, and that's what the people of Rundu want to know. So what makes this different? That is what you listeners, you who is listening at home, should want to know. What would make this different? What makes this time different? So, our time 36 minutes past the hour of 10. We're moving. So I hope you're moving with us. I hope you are unpacking with us. And if you do, come in. So you must also come in. Have your opinion, have your perspective. You don't have to agree. It's not really a matter of agreeing or disagreeing. So we just, you know, let's talk about issues that are affecting our communities. Okay? So, now, let us go deeper. Because Minister Sangwasa did not just talk about town land. He also went back to something he said last month at a traditional ceremony in Diona. You remember when he was in Diona? In Diona. So he said communal land is a state property. It is not for chief. It's not for the headman. The traditional leader are only custodian. They are guardian. They are guarding the land on behalf of the government. So they cannot sell it. They cannot treat it like their private, you know, private farm. They can't do that. Well, this is a heavy statement. Very heavy. Very heavy because in many parts of Namibia, people look to their tradition leaders for land. Basically, for land. Otherwise, nothing else. They look to their traditional leader for land. They go to the headman. They go to the chief. That is the system they know. That is the system the grandparents knew. Now, the minister is saying, yes, traditional leader can allocate land, but only according to the law. And the land still belongs to the state. So here we see the tension. The tension is that on one side, you have community who trust their traditional leader or who trust their traditional structures. On the other side, you have a government saying, hey, we are the ultimate owner. Eh? You understand? We are the ultimate owner. Remember when we were talking about yesterday, communal land, in terms of expanding the town, how there's always a conflict between, you know? So we're talking about Ongwediva. So here, the government said, hey, we are the ultimate owners. Now, in the middle, who is in the middle? You are. You have ordinary people just want a place to build their house and raise their family. Sort out who is who own and who is a custodian. Eh? So all I want is a house where I can raise my children. Who owns it? I don't care. Eh? Now, but Minister Sankwasa's warning is also aimed at something specific. It's also aiming at something specific. Traditional leaders who, especially to traditional leaders, who treat communal land as a private property. We all know stories. We all know the stories. We all know the stories, my friend. So, stories of headmen giving huge pieces of land to their relatives. We all know that. Stories of chiefs selling grazing land, you know, to business from outside the region. Hmm? Stories of people being chased away from land, from the land their families have lived on for generations. Because someone with connection got a piece of paper from the traditional office. We all know the stories. So is the minister right to clamp down on this? Do you think the minister is right actually to clamp down on that? Absolutely. For me, definitely. Nobody should be selling communal land like it is their inheritance. Nobody. But here's the other side of the coin, okay? There's always the other side of the coin. The coin has two sides. Does government have the capacity, okay? Does the government actually have the capacity to manage all this land directly? Can the ministry in Windhoek really oversee every plot in every village, in every region? Can they do that? Because if you take power away from traditional leaders, but do not place it, you do not replace it with a working government system, you create a vacuum. So you create a vacuum, and in that vacuum, do you know what happens? In that vacuum, you know what happens? Of course, you guess right. Corruption thrives even more. Corruption thrives in that vacuum. Even more. So, we need to ask, what is the plan? What is the plan? Is the ministry just going to make rules from Windhoek and hope the best? And hope for the best? Or are they going to invest in local, let's say, in local offices, train staff, put system in place, and make sure that the process actually works for the people on the ground? So are they going to do that? Well, those are the questions, Minister. Now, let's not forget also what this really means for ordinary people, okay? So Rundu has been struggling with land issues for years. Double allocations, illegal sales, delay in servicing plots, and it's not only for Rundus. So, you know, putting in road, water pipes, electricity. People get their plot number today, and 10 years later, it's still bush. You know, it's still bush. No road, no water, nothing. Yeah? So when a young person in Rundu hears that someone sold a plot on Facebook, how do you think they feel? When a mother who has been on a waiting list since 2012, now, when they see the double allocation scandal, what message that that sent to that mother. What do you think? It says the system is rigged. That's one thing. It says the system is rigged. It says if you do not have money to bribe, that's what it said. If you do not have money to bribe, or a cousin in the council, or a clever lawyer, you will wait forever. And this is not only for Rundu. It's for other towns as well. It's for other councils as well. So you will wait forever. It says justice is for sale. Justice is for sale. And that is dangerous. That is dangerous, my dear listeners. So because when people lose faith in the system, and that's what we're talking about with the caller, I think with Manduma, I think. So they stop waiting. They start occupying land, and this is what we see. They start occupying land illegally. They start building wherever they can. And that's what we see. It's because they stop believing in the system. Okay? And then government comes with bulldozers, and we have a conflict. And we have a conflict, we have tears and court cases that drag on for years. In some cases, we do. All because the people who were supposed to manage the land properly could not do their jobs. Simple as that. They could not do their job. Now, here's where I want you to think. This is what I want you to think about. I want you to think, on some of these issues. Okay, I'm going to have a question for each. I have got a question for the minister. I've got a question for you, So, and this is not just for the council, also for all of us. For all of us. Good morning. You are on
morning.
Unpacking the day.
Okay. Unpack. Traditional authority, they are more better than local authority.
Do they have much to do anyway?
Yeah. They don't know how to read and write, but they are doing better.
Yeah.
No matter they are tempted by those who bribe them, at least 70% of their people are getting left.
Yeah.
They are managed to register their land properly.
It's like someone will actually tell a story where, like, corruption, kind of different level of corruption, like in Africa, you are asked to build actually 10 houses. So at least in Europe, corruption is like, okay, you are asked to build 10 houses. Well, at least you eat up one house and then you have built 9. In Africa, so you eat up 9 and you only build
one. Yeah.
So at least the traditional authority, at least, even if there are some bribes there and whatever, they are doing something.
Yeah. No, the traditional authority, they follow the Land Act Article 47 of 1937, which said the land cannot be registered on their body, traditional authority body. So they don't do that. Then what they do, they just allocate land, giving you their traditional certificate.
Yeah.
You go to the regional board, you register land, you are already having a leasehold, 99 leasehold. But when we came back to Sangwasa and the others, I follow now Honorable Sangwasa. There is no much, but because you cannot say people don't eat and you are not coming up with something.
Yeah.
This is where I saw Sangwasa is very, very, it's not doing anything because you are just telling people don't use this, don't service land and then you give it to the proper developers. While you are located in land with no water, no electricity, we call it the same service at land.
Yeah.
You don't do that. You are just asking the bulldozing to debushing, and then you putting the kambashu there.
Exactly. That's the question I ask. What is the plan, you know?
Yeah. Is the same thing of people are getting illegal occupation, and after 3-4 weeks, you're finding it is clean.
Yeah.
Because everybody is cleaning on his kambashu area. So I don't see Mr. is doing much. Come up with solution. We don't want it to stop corruption, and you are not come up with something, or you are not pointing policies or land act that say you are violating here and there.
Yeah.
That is why I saw it wrong, because there is a lot of policies and there is a lot of law act that are what violated by those local authorities. So and the councillors, because if you look at the suburb of Windhoek, for example, it was serviced by public money. See Babasia, Rocky Crest, whatever, even the Dorando, what, all those things was serviced by the public fund.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they want to tell us that no, it's a developer that they are doing that. No, there was no developer. There is no location that you can point. Unless I go to other states like recently, Frankenstein and others, where you can find proper those guys.
Mm.
So those are the problem I'm saying. No, Mr. Sangwasa, you are not doing anything. Say, come up with a solution for the people to get land. Come up with a solution. It's the same National Planning Commission on NDP seats are talking about desire of deliver 50,000 houses.
Yeah.
How are you going to get if you don't have money? You already struggled to building even 1,000 houses. And now you are telling us you are going to deliver 50,000. No, that is not true.
Yeah.
Traditional authorities, yes, they are doing better. I really like, if they could have more land, thousands of people would be having that 99 little halt. It's only that now they don't have more land. It's only that Kabango East and Kabango West that is are now having land.
Hmm.
Yeah, which everybody is going there and bribing somebody. No matter is not there. What is what you call it is a native land. No, the immigrants are more than the native people now. Then the one who is supposed to get land before the others. So those are now the things that corruption is, yes, is playing a big role there. We saw that.
Yeah.
But in the land delivery of Namibia, because Namibian doesn't have a land delivery act. That's another.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's another issue to say it. How are we going to follow to deliver, to give everybody land? Because I saw it is very violated, because human dignity that people are talking about, it having to come of deliver land. Because if you go to somebody's house and you say, where are your children sleep? No, they are sleeping in the open land.
Mm.
So if we give you the land to extract and grooms room for people to sleep in. You are violating human dignity here.
Yeah.
So those are the things that you need to come up with. But in Namibia, we don't have that.
Mm.
So even the president, if you go to here to say, how are we going to deliver land to people? Okay. So you are now look at the space, you are now look at the illegal occupation. Yes, illegal occupation, I really like it, because that is where now it wakes them up to bring up electricity, water, tap water, what. Maybe it's better for that. But now, when it... Yeah. It's a serious issue, my Mike. I'm not talking about because of that. I'm doing a research because of that one.
Yeah.
And I look at it that, no, there is no way we can get in land. Yeah. And another issue that we saw is that the civilian servant, when our people are now illegally occupying or creeping those lands, those civilian servants, the time of the creeping, they are at work. And they cannot go deep, Mike. You cannot go deep, Okatana, and you are working in this side of Bank of Namibia in Ushagati.
Yeah.
It's very far. It will cost you more than to come to rent somewhere nearby. So that is where now we see our civilian servants are more tougher than anybody in this country. Because the house market is very expensive for them, and the gripping opportunity, they don't get it. So now they are the one that is supporting those land speculators or property developers that we are talking about,
yeah.
Who are constructing those what flat and what up, yeah, up to 25 floor. But you don't have any loyal customer that are saying that you are forcing people to come and rent to you because of the distance.
Mm.
So, Mike, yeah, no, that is what I'm saying. As I'm going to say, as me, I like people who are come up with solutions.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I don't like people who are just pointing out. That, and that is what Joppa was doing. You just exposing people, but
yeah.
You never give a solution to problem. Now you are in parliament, you are not doing anything. Because you are smart enough to expose people, but you are not smart enough to come up with solutions.
Yeah, maybe that the stronger trade that a person have.
yeah, maybe it's that. Because come up, if you are directing people to follow law, pointing them that this is the law, you are violating this one. You are violating this one.
Yeah.
So that is where you can do different. And Namibia will not come because Namibia is a corrupt country. Just like South Africa, they are corrupt. They are ruled by political parties.
Mm.
They are not in economic performance, economic improvement. They don't have that.
Yeah.
And they are not aware that if everybody become owning a ground for 10, 15 years, you will come. And he saw that, this is a problem, it is no more food. So
yeah.
I'm selling this house and then I go living in the center of the town.
Mm-hmm.
That is a wealth creation that we are talking about.
Exactly.
But where Namibians are not creating wealth, they are not. There is no Mbwiti that is have houses. Even Mbwiti that you go to Rudrick, you find that they don't have houses.
Yeah.
You find that their children are also crying.
Yeah.
So those are, yeah, Mike.
All right, man.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah?
You're welcome.
Mm. All right. 5 minutes to 11, and that would bring us to the end. It's bring us to the end of our unpacking. The day today. So, but let me have some questions, you know. I want you to think over some questions, really. So just not just for the ministers, not just for the councils, but for all of us. Now, to Minister Sangwasa, okay, you have spoken tough word, you know, you have spoken tough word, you have threatened budgets, you have warned traditional leaders. Now, but how many councils officials have been fired for double allocations? You know, just to see that something is happening as a solution, as the previous caller was saying, how many, you know, officials, council officials have been fired for double allocations? So now how many people have been prosecuted for selling communal land illegally? If that's happening, how many of them we have that have, you know, prosecuted for selling a communal land illegally? Well, as they said, sometimes talk is cheap, Mr. Minister. Enforcement is expensive. Enforcement is expensive. But it is the only thing that counts. It's really the only thing that counts. And are you willing to go after the big fish? After the big fish, or will this just be another slap on the wrist? On the wrist, you know, just like this. Hey, noninganga unquet. Toningei bafaketo deo kana ko karista kucha. Hey, so a small slap on the wrist for the. For small officials, while the real players, you know, walk free. And to the Rundu Town Council, why should residents trust you, really? Why should they trust you? Huh? Your own audit books are not up to date. Your own locations are messy. Your own residents are selling plot on Facebook under your nose. So what is exactly have you been doing? And if you cannot manage land in one town, why should central government actually give you more money, give you more power, more money, more responsibility? Why? So, and to the residents, yes, you welcome the minister's interventions, but how many? What happened? Something just gone off. All right. So what is the time now? Am I still on air? Okay, I'm still on air. So